I want to thank Rav Schechter for being here. And I believe we came here not sure he'd make it. He's not feeling well. Doubly like to thank him. You have the sheets that I gave you about the questions that I presented to Rav Schechter in the area of Psak. If you need a copy, I have them here. And if you have other questions, then hopefully Rav Schechter will have a few minutes to answer other questions as well. Just these are third and fourth year pulpit track Rabbanim, future Rabbanim, who will be our people answering questions. So that's we're looking for your direction in terms of how these questions these kinds of questions. But if guys, if you have other questions, please drop them down, and hopefully Rav Schechter will be able to get to them.
Okay. We know that there are many machlekes in halacha lemaisa, this man hazeh. And the Gemara has a concept in the end of the first perek in Eretz. Gemara has a concept. The Bosh Pshat and the Gemara might have been that when we study Shitas Bishamai, even though we know in advance we don't pass like Bishamai, but when we learn Shitas Bishamai, it constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Divrei Elokim Chayim. Why is that so? Because the Shambai were working within the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bein. Just because Halacha Maaseh, we don't accept their opinion, but it's still considered a Cheftzu Shel Torah with respect to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Gemara has a Tana who had a policy. He thought that you have to darshan every time the word Es appears in the Chumash. So he was darshaning Bereshis Bora Elokim Es HaShemayim V'Esor. It's every Es he was darshaning till he came to the Pasuk Es HaShem Lekech HaTiro. So he said, how can you darshan that you have to fear anybody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? There are no partners, there are Ribbono Shel Olam. There's only one God. You're not supposed to fear any other power in the world. So he backed out from all of his drushes. So the Talmidim asked, what should we do with all of the drushes that he gave us? So he said the famous line, Kishem Shekibat Yischar ala Drisha, Kacha Kabal Schar ala Prisha. Just like at the time that I gave those sheep, I got reward because I was attempting to say Torah Semis. It turns out now that everything that I said was false Torah. But at the time, I thought it was Torah Semis. I got the schar. So now, we'll get schar for saying the Torah Semis, that not the Darshanes. So you see, if not Gemara, that one gets schar for Talmud Torah, even if he learned something incorrectly. So the Poshet Pshat, Eilu B'Yad Adib L'Kim Chaim, just means when you learn Shitas Beishamai, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though we know in advance we're not going to paskin like Beishamai, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But the Gemara tells us a little more than that, that Eilu B'Yad Adib L'Kim Chaim even applies halacha l'maisa. It doesn't mean that you can paskin however you don't please. There are klolim and psak. But sometimes the Gemara says the Shita Sayachid, which is not accepted in Lalacha, generally, may be relied on. The Gemara says, and didim de Rabbanon, Safik de Rabbanon Lakula. The Safik de Rabbanon Lakula means if you have a 50-50 Safik, but if you have an overwhelming right, Lachumre, so the Gemara says, Kamach Meshatamotzi, Rabbi Machnirim, the Yachid Mekel, so don't say that that's fake of the Rabbanon Lakula. You go both the rabbi. But in Hilchas Avelis, the Gemara says, even though it's Rabbi Machmir, a Sophic called who is good enough to be Mekel. In Avelis, the Ramban and the Torah Sodom quotes of Taisus in Maseches Erevin, who quotes from the Goyim. The Goyim's opinion was that Avelis Yom Rishon is Daraisa. And the Chaber Paschal is like that at the end of the year. They Avelis Yom Rishon is Daraisa. So even in Avelis Yom Rishon, which is Daraisa, we also say Halacha Kdeva Mekel Bo. We also say Sofik Avelis Lukulim. That's a Chiddush. Or the Gemara Machlekes regarding Orlo B'chutz Lords, whether it's Halacha L'Moshe Mizinai or it's Midi Rabbanon. The Pshut Roshon Mikra speaks about Orlo only in Eretz Yisrael. He's a Boyal Ha'aretz and a Titan called Ismachel. Parshas Kedoshim. Mishnah says at the end of the first Perek in Kedushin that Orlo B'chutz Lords is Halacha. So the Gemara has a Machlekes whether Hilchas Medina means it's only Midi Rabbanon. or it's halacha l'moshe m'sina. Mishulchan Aruch, they assume that it's halacha l'moshe m'sina. And nonetheless, the Gemara, the Mishnah, say that Safek Arla b'chutz l'aretz is mutter. So then the Gemara says also, it doesn't have to be a Safek HaShokel, 50-50 Safek, even if they're right, even if you're dealing with a din deraisa. The Gemara says, kach nemra halacha. The halacha l'moshe m'sina says that Safek Arla is mutter. So the Gemara says, beferish, even if they're right, is l'achmer. All the farms all over there are selling Arla. You're not sure whether this came from this farm, which is not selling Arla, from the Rav of the farm. So the Gemara says, you don't have to be Machmir based on the Rav. Or if you have a Machloikis HaTanoim, Machloikis HaPoskin, and a Shaila in Arla B'chutzlar, it's even though the Rabbi Ma'machmirim. So the Gemara says, Kalam Mekal Baratz Halacha K'moisa B'chutzlar. When it comes to Arla B'chutzlar, even if the Rav of the Shita saw L'achmir, and in Eretz Yisrael we would Paskin L'achmir, because that's the Rav, but in the Safek Arla B'chutzlar, it's not at all a Safek HaShokel, still you go L'kulim. But usually, outside of those two exceptional cases, that kach nemra halacha, the safek garla, the chutzlarts is mutter, and safek avelus must be a pasuk. Raman tells you where the pasuk is, even if you hold avelus and rishon is deraisa, you still say the safek avelus lakula. Outside of that pasuk, you only say safek derabbanan lakula if it's the safek ashokul. So the Gemara has that in a few rare cases, the Gemara mentions in the beginning of brachas, in the beginning of nida, in different cases, all the cases in the Gemara, cases the Rabbanan. So the Gemara has a klal that if it's a big shas atrak and the issue at hand is only the Rabbanan, so the Gemara says kedai hu raploin in this machala b'shas atrak. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel died 100 years ago. So he wrote a whole kuntra regarding the het mechira. B'shnas HaShmita in Eretz Yisrael, he was a mechutin with the Kotzke Rebbe. The Kotzke Rebbe printed, publicized the whole Kolkari against the colonists, the Jews who moved to Eretz Yisrael, and they were relying on the Het HaMechira. So the Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a whole kuntras, 99 page kuntras, disagreeing with everything that his mechutin wrote in the Kolkari. And he says he would think. The Kotzke Rebbe wrote that Shmita B'zman is as deraisa. So he writes, that's clear, that's absolutely incorrect. Shmita B'zman is as says, I'm prepared to swear a Shavu deraisa. Shmita B'zman is only the Rabban. And then he says, since it's only the Rabbanon, and it's such a big Shas HaTchak, if the farmers are not going to work during Shas HaShmita, they'll be broke. They won't have any food, they won't have any money to live off of, unless you're going to support them with tzedakah from all over the world. Which is which they started at that time, the Keren Hashviyas, okay? But he says, since it's such a big Shas HaTchak, he's prepared to be Mekel, like the Shitas HaYochid, that you don't even have to observe Shmita B'zman HaZeh, even with the Rabban. Even though the Rav HaPoskim don't hold like that, he says, since the whole issue is only the Rabban, and Gedayu, Shitas HaYochid, and Lismach Aleim, Shas HaTchak. There are some individuals who decided that they know how to learn better than everybody else, so they established an international bezin to matter all the agunas in the world. They think that they're going to solve 99% of all the agunas. So part of their heterim is that they quoted from Poskim that even when you're dealing with an aguna, which is a din deraisa, you also say kedai haraplon in this mechala b'shasaraki. Can you rely on the shita sayach? This is 100% incorrect. The Poskim say that by a person who drowned in Mayim Shein Lahem Sof. And the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says, that Mayim Shein Lahem Sof in Atara, we assume the man is dead. It's only a Chumim and the Rabbanan that we make believe is if the man is still alive. So all of the classical poskim write in such a case, it's Mayim Shein Lahem Sof in Atara, the woman is permitted to remarry. It's only a Chumim and the Rabbanan to begin with. And it's a big Shas HaTchak, how old is the woman? The woman is 95 years old, that the husband drowned. Or the woman is a young girl, she's 20 years old, she's going to have to be an Aguna for the rest of her life. So that's a disaster, that's a Shas HaTchak. So B'Shas HaTchak and Adin the Rabbanan, some of the poskim are prepared to be maker like a Shita Sayochid. But we're talking about cases where the husband is alive and kicking and he refuses to give his wife a get. That's an Aguna Deraisa. That's not Mayim Shein Lahem Sof. That's not, you're dealing with a case of both Loisinof Min Atar, it's not Loisinof Min the Rabbanan. So there we don't apply the Gaihar Abdullah in this Machal of B'Shas HaTchak. The Taz writes, in two places, that Gedai Elis Machol B'Shas HaTchak even applies on Dinim Deraisa, and with all due respect, he's wrong. The Shach pops him over the head. The Taz is absolutely wrong. When you learn Shulchan Aruch, you see that there are a lot of Tazim that are absolutely wrong. The Taz didn't have somebody have access to a good library. So the Rav Soloveitchik, when we learned here every day, when we learned Derech Chaim, Rav Soloveitchik never looked in the Taz. All the bits of this Taz. He boycotted the Taz. He said, we never follow the Taz Bechlal. So you can't rely on such a Taz. So whose psak is binding? There are different opinions. Whose psak is binding? So the Pasuk says in Chumash that the psak of the Bez Nagodol is binding on everybody. No one is allowed to pass an offense against the Bez Nagodol psak. That's a din of Zokhan Mamre. Why is the psak of the Bez Nagodol binding? So it's assumed it's not because Bez Nagodol has a special status. The special status, Malamich HaMokim Goreim, that's been negated to the Chi of Misa of Zokhan Mamre. But why is there psak binding? It doesn't have to be the Bez Nagodol and Lishkas HaGozes. The reason why the psakim of the Bez Nagodol are binding, because they are the Gedoli Hador. Those who are appointed to the Nagodol, it's not supposed to be a political... When the Agudas Yisrael was originally organized years ago, so they organized, they decided they want to have a Bad Moetzes Gedoli Hador. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman wrote a letter to the leaders of the Agudas Yisrael. He thinks when they're establishing the Bad Moetzes Gedoli Hador, the membership should not be restricted to people who are members of the Aguda. Maybe for some reason or another, right or wrong, some Talmid HaChachamim feel uncomfortable about joining the Aguda, but they could still be a members of the Vad Matzis Gedoli Ater, because otherwise it's just going to be a political organization, it's going to be a political body. His suggestion was not accepted, so unfortunately, the Vad Matzis Gedoli Ater is a political body. It's not. It doesn't include people. There are many Gedoli Hatar Goyim Adim who are not members of the Bad Matzis Gedoli Hatar. So that was Rabbi Hanan's point. But the Bez Nagodol in Yerushalayim was not a political appointment. We assumed that the people who appointed to be members of the Bez Nagodol were the Gedoli Hador. There's a Tesis in Brachas that's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas quote Talmid Chachamim that Gedoli Hador have the dinam Rabbi Muvok even if you never met them. Tesis proves it from the Gemara. Mara says that when Shmuel HaNavi was a little boy, he was only 3 years old, his mother brought him to Eli HaKoyin, to Mishkan Shiloh, and he paskin in the presence of Eli, and Eli told him, you're a Moira HaLochem Ifnei Rabbi. He says, what rabbi, when rabbi? He never met him before. It's the first time he ever met Eli HaKoyin. So the Tosis points out that Eli was considered the Godel Hador. Godel Hador has the status of Rabbi Muvok of all of the people who live in the generation, even if I never met him before. So that's why we have a klal. In the Gemara, the Chazon Ish has an essay about this, but before the Chazon Ish, the Arishonim have, the Achronim before classical poskim have. The Chazon Ish has a very good essay about this. The Gemara in the first daf, in Perek Rav Lezer the Mila, daf Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "B'mkom Moshe Rav Yosef Aglili, they used to eat chicken that was cooked in milk, because Rav Yosef Aglili held that it's no Issa deraisa, and it doesn't make sense that it should be an Issa derabbanan either." His opinion was not accepted. We paskin the saret b'cholov is basa b'cholov. Rova paskim hold aloch. It's only basa b'cholov the rabbanon. But in his city, b'makom moshe rabbi yosef aglili, sounds clearly from the gemara. Even years after he passed away, they followed his shita because he was the mor d'asra, and they look up to whoever was the mor d'asra has the status of rabbi muvok, and that's the aloha. All the talmidim of that person are supposed to follow his shitas. All the talmidim of bishamai followed the bishamai shitas. The gemara says. Talmidim Abishamah should follow Abishamah Shita. Talmidim Beisil should follow Beisil Shita. One is neither a Talmud of Abishamah nor a Talmud of Beisil. Plain Balabas, Rupa the Rupa of the people in the world, are not Talmidim Abishamah, not Talmidim of Beisil. So then you say, Halocha HaRoit. So the Psak Halocha is like Beisil because they were the Roit. But the Talmidim Abishamah, the Gemara says, also Abishamah can differ. They're obligated. Gemara, the end of the first parak in Yevamos has a whole discussion. Gemara comes to the conclusion from many, many sources and shots. That the Bishamah, you were obligated to follow the Shitas of the Bishamah. Because that's the din. You're supposed to follow Bez Nagodol, not because they're Bez Nagodol. The Oynish Misa of the Zakah Mamre is only if it's Bez Nagodol, Shabalishka Sagozes. But the Halacha says, whoever is Rabbi Muvok, so all of his Talmidim have to follow his Psalm. So if you have a Morad Asra, Gemara says, the reason why it's the first staff in Perek Ablezer in the Mila, because Ablezer, the Tana Ablezer Hagodol was of the opinion, not only Mila, Bizman is Dechah Shabbos for the act of Mila. Even the Machshiri Mila, the Hachonis and Vince, also the Chashabbos. So Gemara says his opinion was outvoted, and anyone who'll do that will be Machal Shabbos and be Chayv Skila. And nonetheless, when Mekom Moshe Rablezer in his city, years after he passed away, or Yekorsa made simply, used to break off branches on Shabbos to make a fire, to melt the metal, to manufacture a knife in order to do the Bris Mila. to demonstrate how chaviv the mitzvah of mila is, that even makshiri mila adecha Shabbos, how were they committed to do that? It's mamash chilul Shabbos, a place of sheet that was avoided. Because they lived in his city, they looked up to him. He had passed away years before. They looked up to him as Rabbi Mubak, because whoever is the Maradasra is looked up to is considered Rabbi Mubak. So that's the halacha says, the balabat mamuchif to follow Rabbi Mubak. So if a rabbi comes to a community, and they had a previous rabbi, and they followed all the psalchim of that rabbi, so Kozman, they still. When the rabbi comes the first week, he can't say he's Rabbi Mubak of the Balbatim. He just moved in. They still look up to the previous rabbi. After he'll be there for a while, so then maybe if he'll have enough influence on the Balbatim, then he'll become the Bardas. He'll become the Rabbi Mubak of the Balbatim. But the first week that he moves in, he's not yet the Rabbi Mubak of the Balbatim. So you shouldn't shake everything up. Regarding Minhagim, a few words about Minhagim. The Gemara in the Dorm says a minig is binding mitam neder midir abanam. That's a Beferish Gemara. In the Dorm tezvav amenala. Minig is binding mitam neder midir abanam. There's a difficult chasam sefer, and the Chubis, the Pische Chuvah and Yerideya quotes on that simen in Shulchan Aruch that it says minig is binding mitam neder midir abanam. So he quotes a chasam sefer. Sam Sofer lived at the beginning of the Reform movement, so he was fighting against the Reform. So the Reform first started by picking on Minhagim. They didn't like the fact that the Chassan wears a kittel under the chuppah. What did it bother them? I don't know. When Goyim used to watch Jewish weddings, and they explained to them why the Chassan wears a kittel, they thought it was beautiful. They thought the Jewish Minhagim was beautiful, but the Reform didn't like, whatever. So they first started picking on Minhagim. So the Chassam Sofer gets all upset. Once you're going to pick on Minhagim, everything is going to fall away. So the Chassam Sofer says, a Sofik the Rabbon and Lekula, but a Sofik Minig is Lechumra, because a Minig is Min HaTorah, because a Minig is Mitam Neder, and Neder is a Din Derais. So that's a passage that Pischa Tshuva quotes this in the Simen Reish Yudal, the beginning of the third Chelek in Yerideya, starts with Hilchus Shvuas. So there's one whole Simen about the fact that Minhagim are binding Mitam Neder, and if a person wants to give up his minig, a person has a minig toiv, and he feels that he can't continue, so you need a hataras nedarim. Yeah, so this is a difficult chasam sefer. The pashta certainly is, like the Gemara says, the minig is only binding mitam neder amid the rabbanim. There are two types of nedarim. There's a neder hayochid, then there's a neder hatzibur. The Rabbi Shaver has a tshuva about this, and the collection of letters that they call shadus and tshuvas, sofnas paneah. It's hard to call the shadus and tshuvas. People used to always, all the yeshiva brachim in Europe in the 1920s, 1930s, used to send postcards to the Ragachavu with kashas. So he used to answer. So sometimes, instead of asking kashas and learning, they would ask shailos aloch alamais. So they call it shailos atshuvas. So he has a whole essay about this, that we see from the Gemara, that there's such a thing as a neder hayochid, and there's such a thing as a neder hatzibur. He proves it, one of the sources he quotes is that it says in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk appears three times, Lishbati Eskam and Osu Shalayim, Im To'iru, Im Toru, Eso Avo, Ad Shetechbot. So the Gemara in the end of Subis speaks about the Sholosh Shavuos, Shehishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael. So the Rav Chaver asked, I never took the Shavua. I never heard from my parents or my grandparents that they ever took the Shavua. No one in the past, the history, nobody remembers ever taking such a Shavua. It was taken before the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech records that Klal Yisrael took a Shavua, so why is it binding on us? So he says, because there's such a concept, there's a neder HaTzibur, there's a neder in the Shavuos HaYochid, there's a neder in the Shavuos HaTzibur. So the Tzibur is not only all of Klal Yisrael can take a neder or a Shavua. A Kehillah is also considered a Tzibur. So if a certain shul has a minig, they don't say Anim Zmiris, they do say Anim Zmiris, whatever. They say this piyut, they say these slichas. So whatever the minhag hamakom is, minhag am binding mitam neder. If you are a member of that tzibur, so let's say the yekis have a minhag, the gemara has a minhag to wait 6 hours between fleishiks and milchiks. So the gemara is clear that that's a minhag. The chasam sefer has a tshuva that the pisuk tshuva quotes. You're learning every day. The chasam sefer says, in order to have milchiks within an hour after fleishiks. That's not a din min ator, it's only min derabbanan. So if a person is a cholu shein v'sakana, so it's already mutter to drink the milk within an hour. But if he wants to drink milk after the first hour is up, within the next 5 hours, he doesn't have to be a chodoshem b'sakana, as long as a mechesh b'alma, because it's only a minute. That's clear from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch. They're waiting the extra 5 hours after, let's say, the Achareidim have shubas about this. A person says shahakol niyibat dvar on ice cream, then he realizes that he's fleshing. So how fleshing is it? So if it's within the first hour, then it's a din de rabbanon. A bracha levatol, we assume, is also a din de rabbanon. So what should he do? It's a din de rabbanon. Can I get a din de rabbanon? So they write shubas about that. But what if it's after the first hour? What if it's in the next 5 hours? And he said by mistake shahakol. So should he let the bracha become a bracha levatol and not eat? Or should we say no? Let him violate the minig. So the pashtus is violation of the minig is a lower level than a violation of a din de rabbanim. We have dinim derais, the dinim derabbanim. We have minhagim. It's not like Chamsam Sefer said that minhagim become dinim derais. Minhagim are dinim derabbanim, a lower level derabbanim. So the poskim discuss what if it's a shivasa betamuz and the person said a bracha on food. So what's the din of fasting on shivasa betamuz is only a minig. So if he said a bracha, so this time he should have a little bit of food, eat a little bit. Okay, all discussion in the pasuk. So let's say a person is from that kehillah where you wait 6 hours, and it's too difficult for him. He wants to be mataneder. Pashas, he can't be mataneder. He didn't. The bal haneder can be mataneder. Let's say his family has a minhag they don't eat kibrok on Pesach. And then he wants to give it up. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to observe that. He can't be mataneder. He's not the balaneder. If he'll join a different group, so he's no longer part of that group. Let's say the Hasidim have the minig not to eat kibroks on Pesach, the misnagdim dog. So let's say the fellow will convert. He's no longer a chassid. He learns in a litvish yeshiva, and he becomes a misnagdim. Okay, so he's no longer a member of that kehillah. Or let's say a girl was a chassidish girl, she didn't eat kibroks, and she marries a boy, he's not a chassidish, he does eat kibroks. What are you going to say? The wife belongs to one kehillah and the husband belongs to another kehillah. It doesn't make any sense. The pashta says they belong to the same kehillah. So usually we assume that the wife enters the shoes of the husband. Beis isha. I don't think you can always say the wife enters into the kehillah of the husband. Let's say the husband is a ger. Or the husband is a bal tshuva, and the wife is a religious family for doiri doiris, rabbinical family. So you're going to say the wife enters the kehillah of the husband. The husband is a bal tshuva. The husband is a ger. He has no kehillah. So the pashtus is such a case is that the husband enters the kehillah of the wife. So if a person switches, let's say the minig amokim in one city is like this, minig amokim in the other city is like that. So you have to observe the minig amokim of your city. But if you move to the other city, they indict the lachzar. Then the Gemara says, you're no longer a member of that kehillah, now you're a member of this kehillah. So the same thing, if a girl gets married, we assume the husband and the wife have to belong to the same kehillah. They don't necessarily have to follow the same posek. Let's say the wife follows her Rosh Hashiva and her seminary, and the husband follows his Rosh Hashiva and his yeshiva. So in Hilchas Nida and Hilchas Kashrus, they have to make up their minds to figure out what they're going to do, because it's neged to both of them together. But as far as other shabbos are concerned, I don't think there is such a din that the husband and the wife have to have the same Rebbe Muvok. They have to follow the same posik. Not necessarily. Isn't that, hey, the wife wants to continue following her posik. Husband wants to continue following his posik. But in Hogim, we say like that. It doesn't make sense to say the husband and the wife belong to two different kehillahs.
Why does someone not
I have to apologize. I have a major sinus problem. I can't hear a word.
No. Someone who keeps the minhag and doesn't have the brachs for a lot of years, why does that not become their neder?
I don't think he's the bal haminig. He didn't start it. The minig is from a kehillah that he belongs to. So if the whole kehillah will decide to be mater neder on the minig, okay? But the whole kehillah is not being mater on the neder. I can't be mater neder. I'll decide I don't want to wait 6 hours. It doesn't help. I'm a member of the kehillah. The kehillah took this neder.
So even though you're keeping it, it's nothing to do with you. It's not your...
Okay, maybe it becomes mine also.
Right.
But that's not sufficient if I'll be matan neder. It's a minig of a whole group of people, a neder of a whole group of people. So the whole group has to be matan neder.
Nowadays, in the example, say, of the 6 hours between meat and milk, it It's not a minhag on a, this community keeps this, this community keeps this. Sometimes you'll have a community and you'll have a whole mixture of people who do it. So will you be able to say that the community just doesn't really care so much? So if you live in that community, would it be easier to be matredeter by yourself?
I think so. There are different types of minhagim. So the minhagi hayochid, minhagi hatzibur. And tzibur sometimes means all of Klal Yisrael. Tzibur sometimes means from a certain city. And then there's a minhag hamishpacha. The Gemara has certain families have a certain minhag. So whoever is a member of that family is obligated to follow that minhag. So the minhag of waiting 6 hours as opposed to 3 hours, I'll be pashtus, it used to be a minhag hamakoymus. And those yekis have moved to America, and there's no yekis in Kehillah, and they live among people who wait 6 hours. Pashtus says they're not allowed to continue with observing their minhag. They live in a different Kehillah now, they have to observe the minhag HaKehillah. So somehow the Yekis are very strong on their minhagim, so they assume that it's a minhag HaKehillah of their family, not a minhag of the Kehillah of the community, because man, you're part of that community. The Pashtus said that that's not correct. Pashtus said it's not a minhag of family, it's a minhag of a Kehillah. And once they move to Wyoming, and there's no Yekis HaKehillah in Wyoming, so if they move to a community, a whole bunch of Yekis together, so they still maintain their Kehillah. But if a Yekis moves to a different community, and there are no Yekis over there, so it's not, the Pashtus says that it's not a minhag HaMishpachas.
But even in those communities now, you'll have one Balabas who keeps three, one six, and this one.
Right.
And you'll be all, it's all a mixture now.
Right.
It's not.
We treat it as a minhag of Mishpachas. And it's a question whether that's correct. The Pashtus says that it should not be. It should be a minhag HaMakom, not a minhag HaMishpachas. There is such a thing as minhag HaMishpachas, the Gemara Pesachim has. But the Pashtus says by the waiting 6 hours versus the 3 hours, that should be a minhag HaMakom.
Tefillin on Chol HaMoed should be Mishpachas? Tefillin on Chol HaMoed.
Tefillin on Chol HaMoed is not really a question of a minhag, it's a question of a din. Are you mechuyev to wear tefillin? Is it also to wear tefillin? Do you wear tefillin with a bracha, without a bracha? It's really an issue of a din. It's not really a question of a minhag. So that one should follow his Rabbi Muvuk, whatever the Rebbe Muvuk is. So the Rebbe Muvuk, a lot of times here in America, like many of the Rebbes now, were very influenced by Rabbi Soloveitchik. They consider him Rabbi Muvuk. He always used to say he's only the Rebbe of the Talmidim as far as the Derech Halima, not as far as Psak, and not as far as Menhagim. He said, as far as Menhagim, you should follow whatever your family Menhagim are. And as far as Psak, you should follow whatever your local rabbi follows. He didn't feel that he was the Rebbe Muvuk of any of his Talmidim, not with respect to Minhagim and not with respect to Psak Halacha. That's very often the case. Let's say students learn here v'smicha. So you're greatly influenced by the Rabbein. Sometimes students are tremendously influenced by the Rabbein, but he's only considered Rabbi Muvuk as far as Limud HaTorah is concerned. He's not really considered Rabbi Muvuk as far as Psak Halacha. Some Rabbein are. Some students have a relationship with the Rebbe, that it's Rabbi Muvuk giving him Psak Halacha, but in most of the yeshivas today, that's not the practice. A girl gets married, or a person moves mimakom lamakom. So the Gemara says he changes the minhagim. Rav Moshe Feinstein was of the opinion that when a girl gets married, she doesn't need a hatoras nedarim, because it wasn't her neder in the first place. It was a neder hakehila or neder hamishpacha, however you view it. And now she belongs to a different mishpacha, different kehila. So the meila, the original neder, is she's no longer a member of that kehila. Yeah, a person has to make up his mind which kehila he belongs to. Like some people will only wait 3 hours in between fleshiks and milukhiks because they want to lead an easier life. The yekis are never fleshik. I used to learn b'chavrusa with Rabbi Neuberger's older brother. So he says, but yekis were never fleshik. You just wait 3 hours and that's it. They're never fleshik. So Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi here. So he used to have a line, if you only wait 3 hours, then you have to say the long slichas on Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur all over the world, everybody else says only slichas 15 minutes. And by Broyers, they say slichas for 2 hours, like an Erev Rosh Hashanah. You say for 2 hours. So he said, you have to be consistent. Which Kehillah do you belong to? So if you want to belong to the Broyers Kehillah, that they only wait 3 hours between Fleshiks and Milchiks, then you have to belong to the Kehillah, and you have to observe all the Mahal. You have to say the long slichas at Erev Yom Kippur, it's not a joke. The Pashto says that it is correct. Arul Minhagim binding. So there's a famous Shuvah by the Rabbi Natam that's printed on the bottom of the page in the Mordechai in Maseches Gittin. On the bottom of the Mordechai, they quote a Jewish Rabbi Natam, which is from the Sefer Yosher. Rabbi Natam has a famous line that the word Minhag Mem Nun Hei Gimel spells out the same voice here, says Gehenim. If you follow Minhag, it goes straight to Gehenim. It's quoted by the Tosfos on the first daf, on the first Mishnah, Bava Basra, daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says if you have two neighbors who agree to make a wall to separate between their backyards, how thick does the wall have to be? So if you're using such material, it has to be so thick. If you're using a different material, it has to be so thick. It lists off several materials, and then it says, and if it's another material, I call Kaminik Hamdina. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. If you're going to end off, you're not going to say, what if the wall is made from plastic? What if it's made from mahogany? What if it's made from plywood? You don't keep on spelling out every single type of material. He ended off, I call Kaminik Hamdina. So why did the Mishnah bother to list off all the others if it's this kind of brick and this kind of stone? Just say, I call Kaminik Hamdina. Finish, whatever the Hamdina is. So Tosfos says, in the name of Rabbi Natan, Mikan Yesh Lomoid, that some in Hogem are called Minik Toys. You don't say every minig is binding. Some in Hogem are considered a minig toys, and you're not supposed to follow it. So the Mishnah gives you a few examples. If the minig ha-mokum is that they build walls with bricks, so it should be so thick and not thicker. And if the neighbor wants me to spend money to make a wall that's thicker, that's a minig shtus. You don't say hakol kaminig hamdin. That's why the Mishnah lists it off, some of the materials with which you're going to make a wall, and it gives you what the thickness is. So sometimes you have what we call a minig shtus. No, that's already a shaila. You have to be a talmid chacham to be able to determine which minig is a minig shtus, which not. So for example, there's a very widespread minig that when we request of the rabbi before Pesach to sell a chametz on our behalf, we'll point the rabbi as a shliach. The minig is the rabbi gives a handkerchief to the balabas, in exchange which the balabas gives over the power of attorney to the rabbi. So this is based on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Mechira records such a minhag. So the Chazon Ish and the Stipler, his brother-in-law, had the practice. They never wasted time on doing this minhag. Whenever they went to the rabbi to sell the chametz, he said, the Rambam says that it's a minhag shtus. Because the Rambam first makes fun of it. And he says it doesn't make any sense. There's no need for the kinyan, and it doesn't accomplish anything. So it doesn't accomplish anything. It's a minhag shtus, so you shouldn't do it. If it's a minhag shtus, you don't follow. Rav Soloveitchik used to be very adamant about that minig. He said that even if, every rabbi knows that on Erev Pesach, as he's about to sell the chametz to the guy, some balabas is going to call up the last minute on the telephone and say, Rabbi, I forgot to ask you to sell the chametz, please sell it on my behalf. So how can you make a Kenyan suitor over the telephone? The balabas is in the office. He's not here. So eventually he gave two suggestions how to fulfill the minig even in such a case. He said, the Rambam starts off by saying that it doesn't make any sense, but then the Rambam knocks sense into it. Rav Soloveitchik used to give a whole shiur what Kinyan Seder is all about, and that Rambam fit into his shiur. That was a crucial piece of his shiur explaining what the nature of Kinyan Seder is.
A minhag shtus would never get into the category of a neder.
I didn't hear again.
A minhag shtus would never get into the category of a neder. They're all the same.
No. A neder has to be levate bisfasayim. The minhagim we never said bisfasayim. So we say hegdish is chal b'machshava. The Gemara says because the pasuk says m'divrei hayomim kol m'div lev oilos heviu. So that's min haTorah. Hegdish is chal b'machshava based on a pasuk. If you have a minig toiv, a minig l'dvar mitzvah, so m'divrabanan we treat that as if it's on the same level as hegdish. But if it's a minig shtus, and you never said, if you said levate bisfasayim, so that's a real neder deraisa. That's not a minig, that's only midirabanan. But if you never said levate bisfasayim, so it's only a neder midirabanan, so it's only if it's a minig lidvar mitzvah, so the midirabanan, we treat it as if it were hegdish. Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik was very insistent. People think that Rav Soloveitchik was mezazel minhagim. I don't think it's correct at all. He was a big stickler on minhagim. He used to be makbid on the hogim, but that the Mishnah Berurah says nobody does that anymore. He said no. He says it in Shulchan Aruch, so you got to do it. He used to observe all the minhagim. But if he felt that something was a minig shtus, so he wouldn't observe it. So that in every generation, Talmid HaChachamim have to judge. is that you come to a community, they have minhagim. See, you're not allowed to change all the minhagim. But if the rabbi is convinced that something is a minhag shtus, then he shouldn't allow them to continue this. So when Rabbi Soloveitchik first moved to Boston, originally he was the rabbi of the whole city. So that year he told us Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. And the minhag in Boston was that they didn't duchen. The kadam only duchen on Yontif, that's the minhag by the Ashkenazim. When Yontif falls out on Shabbos, the minhag was that they didn't duchen. So it said in Shulchan Aruch that this is a minhag shtus, and you shouldn't follow it. So he says he was very young, and he was very forceful, and he was screaming at them and cursing a bunch of Amaratzim. And he says he won the fight and he lost the job. He said before Yom Kippur he was fired already. He was no longer the rabbi of the whole city. He was the rabbi after one or two shuls. But he says he was fired before Yom Kippur. So he told us, boys, when you go to the rabbinate, make sure that the Karim Duchin on Yontif, even on Shabbos. But I don't think it's worth losing your job over that issue. There were other issues that he said it is worth losing your job. There was one, one of the Talmidim, one of the close Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik, was a rabbi in a shul, and they were contemplating appointing a woman as the president. So Rav Soloveitchik told him he shouldn't permit it, and if they appoint a woman as the president, he has to resign, because that's against the din. So he said he succeeded in convincing the Balabatim that they shouldn't appoint a woman as the president. Later on, he gave up the rabbinate in Gansa, and he went into business. Rav Soloveitchik felt that that was an issue that is worth giving up the rabbinate over that. So the reason why Rav Soloveitchik held you have to be mevatel, he said that's a minhag shtus. He says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes such a minhag. Minhag started because the Ravid, there's a commentary, Pirush HaMiyuchas LaHaRavid, HaMaseches Tomid. They know it's not by the Ravid, but it's Miyuchas LaRavid, printed in all the Gemaras. So the Pirush HaMiyuchas, he records a minhag that when the Rabbanim would want a duchen on Yom Yitayvim, they had to make sure that the husband would be tohar. If the husband hadn't gone to mikveh, he wouldn't be able to do it. So when Yontif falls out on Shabbos, Einus Tamachochem is Melel Shabbos, Lel Shabbos, so the Kohanim would be Balkeri, so they wouldn't be able to do it. So B'zman Hazeh, all the Kohanim duchen, nobody goes to mikveh before they go to duchen. So the whole meaning doesn't make any sense at all to B'zman Hazeh. Here in the neighborhood, there used to be the Agudim Minyan. So the Gudim Minyan had for many years, they had a minig. They only duchen at Yontif, and when Yontif fell on Shabbos, they wouldn't duchen. And everybody told them it's not right, so they wouldn't listen. That's their minig, right? So someone said, you have to ask Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky. So finally, they fell in, they agreed. They asked Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, he says, what are you crazy? Of course you have to duchen. So they agreed to follow whatever Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky said. So they changed the minig, so they do duchen. Okay. That's mamish a minig shtut. So if you have a young Talmid Chacham comes to a shul and they say this is the minig in the shul, we don't give the kohen the first aliyah. We never give kohen. What do you mean? That's against the din. You can't have a minig against the din. There is a comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi in the end of Bava Metzia that minig oikar halacha. So people quote that out of context. The Mishnah in Haseches HaPoelim says that based on the pasuk in Baruchi Nafshi, a worker who is hired by someone else is supposed to work from Ados al Shachar till Tzeis al Kachovim. So let's say I hire a worker and I say I'll pay you $2,000 a week if you put in, you work for me 5 days a week all day long, and then Friday go home at 1 o'clock. So he does work 9 to 5. Friday goes home 1 o'clock, and he says he wants his $2,000. He put in a whole week's work. I say, what do you mean? He didn't come alois al shachar. He didn't stay till says al kachavim. I'm going to deduct your salary. He says, what alois al shachar? He never heard of it. So I say, it's a beferish pasuk in Baruch Hanafshi. He never heard of this. He says the minhag amokam is that everybody works from 9 to 5. So that's what Yerushalmi says. Minhag oikar halacha. The halacha should be amoytzi mechaber all of haraya. That the balabas is muchzak on the money in his bank, and let the worker prove, the burden of proof should be on the employee. He should have to prove that he doesn't have to work from Ados al Shachar till Tzeis al Kachavim. So the din is, if the minhag amokam is that everybody works from 9 to 5, so the minhag is a haychacha. The Baal Bas never said, I want you to work from Ados or Shachat, it says. If the minute is everybody works from 9 to 5, says, Kilo Hisnu. Whatever, let's say I hire a worker, I say, you only have to work for me an hour every day, from 12 to 1 in the afternoon, that's it. I pay you $2,000 a week. I can make whatever conditions I want. Bistava, if you didn't say one way or the other, so the Pasuk says in Baruch Hanavshi, from Alos al Shachat al Tzeisan Kacham, but if the Minigam Makam is from 9 to 5, so that's the Yom Bidah, that's considered Kila Hisnu. So that's why you say Minigoy Ka'alacha, the Minigam Makam is Kaveah, what they meant, what were the conditions of employment, and that's okay, the Din of Habetzim Machaveh all of Harai, but there's no such thing. The Minig is Oy Ka'alacha, if it's a Minig that's against Alacha, it's a Minig Shtus, you're not allowed to follow such a Minig. The Ramor has an essay about the Minhagim in Hilchas Purim. He says that we have a minig that we clap haman. And sometimes when they clap haman, they make such a racket, so some people sometimes miss a word or two. So they have to say from a chumash, from a printed chumash, you have to say in an order. If you say, Shalom ala seder, kor la mafreya lo yotza. So the Ramah says, you have to observe the minig, if it's a minig basikin, if it's a minig that was approved by Talmid HaChamim, by Tzadikin. Stam the Balabatim have a minig that we don't have any record at all that this minig was approved by Talmid HaChachamim, Rabbanim Talmid HaChachamim. They didn't have any rabbi for many years, so they developed all kinds of wacky minhagim. So that's not called a minig, that's fine. And even if you have a minig that seems to have been approved by Talmid HaChachamim, if the new rabbi feels that that's called the minig basik, and if the new rabbi feels that it's a minig betois, it's against halacha, so he has to put his foot down. He shouldn't permit them to continue such a minig. A lot of times, the family has a minig, they stand for Kiddush and for Havdalah. Then the Talmud, the child, goes to learn in Yeshiva, and the Yeshiva, they sit for the Kiddush. So is he allowed to violate his parents' minhag? The parents come to the rabbi, they want to know, should they put their foot down and insist that the son has to follow the family minhagim or not? The Pashta says people move on in life. Originally he belonged standing for Kiddush Abdullah. That's I don't know, maybe he used to be minig amokam, I don't know, but now it's a minig of mishpachas. So he belongs to that tzibur. But then once he goes to the yeshiva, and he spends a lot of Shabbosim in the yeshiva, and especially in Europe, when the Talmidim in America used to go learn in Europe, they didn't go back every Shabbos. They went back after a couple of years. They would learn in the yeshiva a couple of years, then they came back. Or the Talmidim in Europe would go travel to the yeshiva. They'll go home for Pesach, maybe. Sometimes they go home. They couldn't afford to go home every month in Donishtik. So they spend so much time in the yeshiva, so basically it's like one who lived in one community moved to a different community. So it depends how attached he is to the yeshiva. If he becomes very attached to the yeshiva, because that's where he's learning, and that's where he's growing, and Yerushamayim, so then he becomes a member of a different kehillah. So he no longer observes the minhagim of the family. He's no longer a member of that kehillah. He's a member of a different kehillah. Rabbi Gifter was once telling us that when he was brought up, his father, his parents were religious, balabatim. So his father used to stand for Kiddush all the time. Then when he learned in the yeshiva, he went to Europe to learn in tells the yeshiva. He was there for a couple of years. So he picked up all the minhagim from the yeshiva. He became a member of a different kehillah. Rabbi Soloveitchik, as I mentioned before, used to say he doesn't feel that he is the Rebbe of the Talmidim in Psak Halacha, or that they should follow his Minhagim. Each one should follow the family Minhagim, they should follow whatever rabbi they used to follow in the past, they shouldn't follow him. He just used to say two things are mamish betoys. He said that the Hasidim don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, that's 100% wrong. So even if you're a Hasidish family, follow all the other Chassidish and Minhagim, that's 100% wrong, because that's a Beferish Gemara. Then the other thing that he said is 100% wrong is the Kesher Shel Rosh. This was his father's bug, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He goes back to Rav Chaim, I don't know, that all the Talmidim that had European Talmidim and American Talmidim, those that came to learn here in Shivas Abitz Koranam, during the lifetime of Rav Moshe, so he would insist you have to make over the Kesher Shel Rosh, that it should be a Dalet. Instead of being a square, it should be a Dalet.
According to the Vilna Gaon, not eating gebrachts, not eating gebrachts on Pesach is also against the Beferish Gemara that you can dip matzah in water. So if someone wants to eat gebrachs on Pesach, can he rely on the build a gaon and say it's a minhag shlichus?
It's not, you can't say it's. Vilna Gaon thought that there's no need for the Chumrah. The Tanoim were not Machmed. The Gemara said the favorites that you don't have to be Machmed. So the Chsidim introduced the Chumrah. Okay. Mishmartam es Mishmarti. Asul Mishmar es Mishmarti. So if a person wants to introduce personal, private Chumras, okay, why not? So they came up with a new Chumrah. Maybe the matzahs in the days of the Tanoim were better baked than our matzahs. Maybe part of our matzahs are still a little raw. So we baked them in the oven so all of the moisture evaporated. But it's not baked yet. The dinas are ofui. And maybe part of the matzah is still a little raw. And if you dip it into water now, it'll be able to be machmetz now. So there's room for a chumrah. You can't say, then the going thought it's not necessary. So he felt that it's a minig shtus. But others don't feel that it's a minig shtus. So they hear us.
All right.
Should a person stand or sit in by Kiddush if his parents are doing differently, or is that a little bit like lo to go to do? To sit or to stand for Kiddush if everybody else is standing or sitting? The family does one minhag, and I want to do a different minhag. Is that
with his home?
You're in your parents' home.
No, that's not right. If I go to another shul and they're davening Nusach Svarits, I'm supposed to daven according to their minhag. Whatever the minhag hamakom is, you're not supposed to do it against the minhag hamakom. But the question is, in his own home, he became a member of the yeshiva community. He's no longer a member of that kehillah. He's a member of a different kehillah.
What if you go to a shul where there's like Sephardim and Ashkenazim and a mix of people, and the minhag of the shul is to daven Ashkenazi, but the Sephardim daven in Sephardi Sidurim?
Strictly speaking, the Sephardim can daven Nusach Sephard. If it won't be Niker, if it won't be Bolet.
Okay.
So if they're going to scream out loud, Hodu first, then they're going to scream out loud, Baruch Shaman second. Mm-hmm. So then they're making it obvious. If they say softly, and nobody knows what they're saying. Mm-hmm. If they're going to say Tachnun, Hashem Nebagadnu, and no one else is saying like that, so that's very Bolet. If they want to daven Nusach Svard, where it's not Bolet, so that's not a problem. Unless he's serving as the Baal Tefillah. The Baal Tefillah has to daven whatever the Nusach of the Mekam is.
So standing or sitting during different parts of davening count as a minhag, or is that?
Yeah, that's all minhagim. So whatever the minhag amakim is, one should follow.
So if your family does something, and even though most people wouldn't necessarily do that, then you have to be matir that neder, or is now your neder to be matir?
If you're in a shul but no one else does it, so you follow whatever the minhag is. If you're home, you're davening somewhere else where no one's going to notice. Some shuls, after people are standing, sitting, they're not in the same place. So then if it's not conspicuous, it's not noticeable, so you should follow your family minhag. But if it is going to be noticeable, that it's not permissible to be mishanim if they're machlokes. Shouldn't be mishanim in minhag amok. The two exceptions to the rule that Rabbi Soloveitchik had about the sitting in the sukkah, eating in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, is half of the rishonim. They say Rashi didn't sit in the sukkah. So they say that Rashi apparently didn't have that giris in the Gemara. They say that was added from the Bahag. Hilchus and Mesiv Yasvina Bruch Elo Mevrachin. So that's, they defended it. They say, even though Shulchan Aruch it says the giris are like we have in the Gemara, but half of the Rishayim didn't sit in the Sukkah Shmetzer. So it's hard to say that that's absolutely wrong. And the Keshe Shal Rosh Rab Soloveitchik was so touchy about Ramosha Soloveitchik also. You look in the Rishayim, they describe step by step how to tie the knot. It always comes out to be a square. And they say, whoever makes it differently is not Yotze. They say, it has to be a square. And they write that the Korban Nasanel son has a tshuva about this. So there were those who said that if you don't make a dalit, if you make a square, it's not acceptable. So the Korban Nasanel son writes, how can you say that? This kesher of the dalit was invented in the 1700s. It didn't exist before. So the two issues that Rabbi Soloveitchik was so touchy about, the sitting in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres and the Keshe Sharosh, they're not so obvious. They themselves are questionable. Yeah. Is it proper for a rabbi to suggest to someone that he shouldn't take on all the dinim at one time? In the days of the Gemara, they only had chinuch for ketanim. The man is there, we have to deal with Bali Tshuva, potential Bali Tshuva. We have chinuch for gedolim, people who never said a bracha before. So what are you going to say? For little children, we always do like that. Chinuch is always yigom and akal al akavim. By little children, you say, the din is in the Shemana Esra, all the brachas hamak v'zu v'zu. So if you don't say all the brachas of the Shemana Esra, all the 18, 19 brachas, what you said is a bracha l'batol. So you're not mechanech the children to say one or two brachas of the Shemana Esra. Everybody does it. Or birchas hamazon. So you mechanech the children to say the first bracha till azan asakol, and that's it. So it's a bracha l'batol. He's not yotze anything by saying the first bracha. So for the purpose of chinuch, that's it. You go menakal al akavim. Bismana Gemara, they didn't have chinuch for adults, but Bismana Zavi do have chinuch for adults. So the pashtus is, it's not reasonable to expect a person to accept all the dinim of Shabbos, b'vasa, all the dinim of Hilchos Nida, b'vasa. You have to tell them, we're telling you the haschola, and there's much more, but first you have to get used to this, and then if you get used to this, then we'll proceed with more. That's the last Lubavitcher Rebbe had a mitzvah hatfilin. He had a campaign to try to get everybody to wear them. So they stop people in the street. They say, "Are you Jewish?" He say, "Yes." They say, "Did you wear tefillin today?" He says, "No." Okay, I'm going to put out tefillin. They have him say a bracha. But he doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in Torah Menashamayim. Well, what are you making him say a bracha? The bracha is a bracha l'batola. He doesn't believe. Doesn't believe in anything, and it's the equivalent of kavanah shalola. So you didn't accomplish anything. Forget. Made him say bracha levatol. So the one who was then the Satmar Rebbe, Rabbi Yoel, what's his name? Teitelbaum. So Satmar Rebbe wrote a whole attack against the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Not only are you accomplishing nothing, because like equivalent to kavanah shalola, says you're making the fellow say bracha levatol. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote a response to the Satmar Rebbe's attack. So he quoted the Gemara that you can't say a bracha shakali b'dvar for someone else unless you're eating with him. Then you say Shemei Koinim, we're all eating together. But I can say a bracha al mitzvah tefillin, say a bracha leisha basukah for someone else, yotza moitzi, and a bichas al mitzvah, and a bichas anen, and you don't say yotza moitzi. The Gemara says, unless it's for ketanim, for the purpose of chinuch, the child does know how to say a bracha. So I say the whole bracha, say Baruch Atah Hashem, okay? I say the whole bracha for him. And then he says after me, or he doesn't say after me. So for the sake of chinuch, you're allowed to. So there is, that's a Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote, that in the days of the Gemara, there was only chinuch for little children. And as man azeh, Bab, in the same Ram, we have to do chinuch for adults as well. So the pashtus is the same as over here, that that's only provided, that the Lubavitcher Rebbe's idea, it's only provided that you're going to keep on working on the person. You just have him put on tefillin one day with a bracha, he doesn't believe in anything. So where's the chinuch? It's not going to lead to anything. But if you keep on working on the person day after day, and you try to convince him about Torah and Hashemayim, and mitzvahs and so on, so then you can say that it's chinuch. Chinuch is by your child or children, but you're going to continue working on the person. So that's the Lubavitcher feel, that they're going to try to work with everybody. So I think the work menakal al hakavod is very reasonable. If you're talking about the people, you're not talking about a ger. By a ger, the ger has to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, so he has to accept everything. We're talking about a person who already is Jewish. They can't say it's either all or nothing. Either you observe all of Hilchos Shabbos, or I'm not going to teach you anything. You're talking about a person who is Jewish. So you have to try to get him to observe whatever he'll be able to observe. And the Sefer Tnuas Amusi quotes that Rabbi Saul Salanter was once trying. Rabbi Saul Salanter did a lot in Kirov. So he tried, he was convincing a person who had a government job, a person worked in a government office, and he had to write, he had to type documents and write every Shabbos. So he convinced him to write less. He couldn't convince him to quit his job. The guy's not going to quit his job to become a Shabbos. He knew that there's a mitzvah Shabbos, but he wasn't prepared to give up his job. So Rabbi Salanter encouraged him, so don't write unnecessarily. Whatever you feel you have to write, write. But don't write unnecessarily. So that's over here also. You have to. We're talking about Jewish people. I'm mechuyev in mitzvahs. If it's a ger, habol his gayer. So we have to educate him everything in advance. And we're not to gayer him until he's prepared to accept everything. If you say chutz midover echad, you don't accept.
With the case of the ger, he can accept everything, but he may not necessarily be prepared to actually observe it. I mean, he wants to observe it, but he may not be able to observe it just yet. It's not like lechutz. It's I'll accept it, but I need to get up to that point where I can practice it.
Yes, the proper thing is you shouldn't be megayer him until he's ready for everything. You should have him practice before he is Megaya. Be the mikveh until he's prepared to observe everything.
In the case, let's say, of Hilchos, in the case of Hilchos Nida, the person's being Misgaya before he's married. Let's say he doesn't even have a girlfriend at that point. So he's not even practicing Hilchos Nida.
Okay.
He accepts it, but he hasn't even had the opportunity to really even attempt
he's practicing it. He's not going to be Baal Anida. Okay. He's accepting and observing it. Okay. Is the Mishnah Brewer the Pesach Achron? It turned out like that. See, after the war, the Rabbonim and the Mechanchim of the generation after the Second World War, everyone had spent some period of time in Radin. And even those who never learned in Radin at all, they all got a bracha from the Chafetz Chaim. Everybody had a shaykhus with the Chafetz Chaim. So everybody was influenced by the Chafetz Chaim. Dr. Belkin learned by the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Gerelich learned by the Chafetz Chaim. All the rabbis in yeshiva, they all had either spent time learning in Radin, or they had a relationship with the Chafetz Chaim. Everybody had a shaykhus. So everybody accepted the Mishnah Berurah as the Poisek. Now we live already years later, so now there are a lot of issues where we know the Chazon Ish doesn't agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Now it's hard to say that everybody follows everything in the Mishnah Berurah. I don't think so. There are certain areas where we know that many people follow the Chazon Ish. Not everything, but everything. You have to see what the consensus is. There are issues where we follow, but some Gedolim recommend, but the Tzibur, it's too difficult. The Mishnah Berurah is much more machmer than the Aruch HaShulchan. So for the Tzibur, many used to say it makes more sense to follow the Aruch HaShulchan than to follow the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah wants everybody. There was in the days of the late Baalei HaTosfos, there was a theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz. Mishkenaz Yadav has in the Tshuva. There's long Tshuvas about Erevin. It's Chilufei Mechtovim with Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. So he has a footnote in the middle of the Tshuva. The Tshuvas are in Rashi's script. The footnotes are in block letters. So he has a footnote that is noticeable, like Asokas Harivit in the middle of a Rambam. So he writes in the footnote that this was a theme that was introduced by the Hasidi Ashkenaz to try to be machmer, to satisfy all the opinions. So this appears in the Shulchan Aruch every so often. And the Mishnah Berurah picked up that theme and he did it 200 times more than when you have in the Shulchan Aruch. And every other page in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah tells you how to do things to satisfy all the opinions. So this is really a big chumras. It's a little bit unreasonable to accept the whole tzibur, to expect the whole tzibur to follow all of these chumras. Even for Yechidim, it's really a lot of chumras. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't go so much with so many chumras. The good thing is you have to follow whatever the consensus is. How old does a person have to be that he should be able to take his own, to formulate his own opinion? It's not a smart idea to formulate your own opinion just because you got smicha. There are a lot of things that before, if you don't know the Gemara, I meet a lot of students who join the kollel, so I interview them before in advance. So there's a fellow came to me the other day. He never learned in our yeshiva. He learned in Eretz Yisrael for many years, different yeshivas. So yes, what did he learn lately? So he learned in a very good yeshiva. He learned Hilchos Nida, Hilchos Mikvos. He says he learned Hilchos Mikvos. I started asking him things in Mikvos. So he knew the Torah and the Bais Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch, but he didn't know from the sources. He didn't know the Tosfos. He didn't know the Gemaras. He knew what was in the Torah and the Bais Yosef. So he learned very well, but he should make a decision based on. He wasn't really sufficiently familiar with the material. It's not enough just to learn the Yeridei. You have to know the Yeridei from the original sources in the Gemara. So the Bais Yosef tries to fill in all the missing information, tries to quote all the Gemara, but still, just learning the Bais Yosef is not enough. And if you didn't learn the Bais Yosef, you just learned the Shulchan Aruch with the Shach and the Taz, for sure that's not enough. You shouldn't take a stand on anything. The Gemara says, Ad Arba'im Shana, until a person is. So the Gemara said you shouldn't pasken on your own until you're 40 years old, unless a shadow comes up on Shabbos and you can't call anybody up. You have no choice, so you have to take a stand. But more correct is a person should always consult with someone else. What's the consensus? What's the accepted opinion?
What about the first part of that question of question number six?
Question number?
Six, the first part of it.
I don't think it makes sense that you should always ask his Rebbe in the yeshiva. His Rebbe in the yeshiva, a lot of times, just a Rebbe in Derech HaLimud, but not at all a Rebbe in Psak HaLocha. The Rebbe will spend a lot of time on Ashitas Rashi. We don't paskel like Rashi. On Ashitas HaRambam, we don't paskel like the Rambam. You have to have a Rebbe in Psak HaLocha. So there you open. The Rebbe in Psak HaLocha will not be the same Rebbe who showed you how to learn. That's a touchy thing. Psak HaLocha, you have to know what's the Mekubal, what's the Midrash HaMekubal. In Psak HaLocha, the Rambam has a Machlokes with the Gaonim regarding Shemitah. So we follow the Gaonim. Every 7th year we observe Shemitah. We don't count the 50th year as a blank year. We just keep on counting 7-7. The Rambam says it's against the Gemara. It doesn't make any sense. You have to count 50, 50, 50, 50. And the 50th year is a blank year, not part of any Shemitah cycle. And then the Rambam writes, even though the Goyim, in his opinion, are wrong, we have to follow the Goyim. Because the Goyim lived in Eretz Yisrael. There were Goyim in Babylon, Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim lived in Eretz Yisrael. And this was the practice. And he says, in the Masorah, in the Kabbalah, Zika Godel B'Psak HaLocha, if that was the tradition. So Rav Chaim gives a whole teretz. He explains the Shitas HaGoyim. And the Meshech Chacham explains the Shitas HaGoyim. Wonderful. The Rambam was convinced that it didn't make any sense. And even though it didn't make any sense, he gives in to the Goyim. Over there, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, no, you should follow the Rambam. There's a Rav Soloveitchik commented on that. He thinks that's the one and only place where there's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid thinks you should pass them like the Rambam. The Rambam says you should not paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam says you should not accept, should not follow my opinion. He gives in to the Goyim. But this is important. You have to know what's the Psak HaMekubal. You can't just, a guy's going to come and he's going to pontificate. He learns with the Gemara and this is the Maskon. What has been the Psak the last 2,000 years since the days of the Tanakh? You have to know what is the consensus.
So how do young Rabbanim find the Rebbe B'Psak if they've been exposed to Rosh Yeshiva who maybe are not involved so much? How do they what's your advice to them?
Ask around in the yeshiva, maybe one of the rabbis who teaches Yeridei, maybe one of the rabbis who teaches Gemara. You have to pick up Shemesh from somebody, and if not from our yeshiva, then you have to pick up from another yeshiva. Okay.
If you have a Rebbe in Psak, similar to what we've been talking about, if you have a Rebbe in Psak and you know he has a certain shita about certain things that maybe other people don't necessarily have. So if someone asks you then the question, so your Rebbe tells you not to do it, but other Rebbeim would say, okay, so when would you be able to rely on, would you ever be able to, or?
It depends, l'chumra, l'kula. Your Rebbe has a chumra that no one else holds from. So you have to tell the shoyl, you have to tell him a different opinion. My Rebbe happens to be machmer on this, but the general consensus is l'hokel, falabos, not b'chuyiv to be your Talmud. I remember there was a Shaila, there's a doctor in Rochester, New York, who did his, when he was, when you prepare to become a doctor, what do you call that?
Internship, residency.
Internship, residency, whatever. So he did his internship in Eretz Yisrael. In the years that he was in Eretz Yisrael, he was close to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he, so there was a girl in Rochester who became a Giyuris. Took her a long time till she became a Giyuris. Then I think she was overweight. Took her a long time till she got a Shidduch. Then after she got a Shidduch, then it took her a long time till she became pregnant. Everything was difficult with her. Then she found out that she's carrying a sick baby, and if she's not going to do an abortion, she's going to suffer taking care of the sick baby. So the rabbi in Rochester asked this doctor, could he please call Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and ask him whether he could permit an abortion in such a case. So he calls him up at Shlomo Zalman, he talks to him in Hebrew, tells him the whole story. It took her a long time until she converted, until she got a shidduch, until she became pregnant, and now, so Shlomo Zalman says, "Ata yodea tashita sheli. I hope that you're not allowed to do abortion, there's nothing to discuss." So the doctor has it over again, but it took her a long time until she converted. The whole story all over again. So the doctor, so therefore what? So the doctor says, maybe you think it over till tomorrow, and I'll call you again tomorrow. So Shlomo Zalman says, I don't know what there is to think over. Call me back tomorrow. So the doctor tells me, he called back up Shlomo Zalman tomorrow. He says, Tagid li isha, sheish poisik mefursam b'Yerushalayim, Hashem Rav Waldberg. He says, he's matter to do an abortion. The woman is not mechuyev to listen to my psukim. She's not a talmid of mine. She's not from my talmid. Tell her that this Reb Shlomo Zalman has this in the Svarim that he wrote about him. He has this about different issues. He had certain chumris and hafrashas from his amaisers. When people asked him that shaila, he said, Rav David Baharan is mekel. So he said, but you wrote l'chum. He says, that's my opinion. You're not mechuyev to follow my opinions. Not mechuyev the talmidim. One is a talmid of a rabbi, is mechuyev to follow their opinion. When my sister got married, I remember, my grandfather had just passed away soon before. So my mother was in Avela. So my father went to ask Rav Soloveitchik about the heta that a lot of people have, that if someone is in Avela, if they pour little schnapps at a wedding, so the waiters are allowed to participate in the wedding because they're working there. The musicians, let's say one of the musicians is in Avela. But he's not going to participate. He's doing it for Parnassa. So if a person pours some schnapps, he's one of the waiters, so he's allowed to go. So Rav Soloveitchik said, there's no such heter, it's not a valid heter. So my father said, thank you, and he left. So the boys told me afterwards that they asked Rav Soloveitchik, but just an hour earlier, Rabbi so-and-so came, and he asked the exact same shaila, and you told him that it's mutter, the exact same shaila, that one of the parents of one of the chasen of Kala was in Avel. So he said, you weren't listening carefully. The other rabbi wanted to know, is there a heter? So I said, there are those who are matir. I didn't say I'm matir. I said, there are those who are matir. So the rabbi said right away, thank you very much. And he ran out. I'm not going to chase after him. He's not interested in my opinion. He wants to know, is there a heter? So he said, there are those who are matir. Rabbi Schechter, my father, asked. He said, he wants to know my opinion. He said, what are you paskin? I said, I had to tell him the truth. I paskin the chumrat, that is not a valid heter. We're not always mechuyev to tell a balabatim. If we have a tradition of a certain chumrat, we follow a Rebbe as a certain chumrah. But the Psak HaMekupel, the legitimate Psak HaMekupel, is Lekula. So you can tell the Balabas. My tradition, my personal tradition for my Rebbe is Lechumrah. But the general opinion is Lehakel. You're not mechuyev to force all of your chumras on the Balabatim. The latter Kloli HaPsak. I imagine someone else is going to talk about the Kloli HaPsak. How do you come to a maskana with Psak HaLoch? Okay. What time is this session supposed to end?
No.
Okay. Have a slot in the rabbinate.
Thank you.
It's a very rewarding career. I was in the rabbinate for a few years. I have one of the participants in my shiur was a balabas in my shul. I left the shul 30 years ago. He comes to shiur now every day. I used to have more people used to come. It was a very tiny shul. I felt I accomplished. I had a hashpah on all of my balabatim. You can also have hashpah. I used to give shiurim, used to give drushes, and I had an influence on all the balabatim, the men and the women. I had an influence on all of them, the men and the women. You can have a tremendous influence. A lot of shuls, the people want to hear what the Torah has to say, and you work with them, and you explain all the dinim. You give all the sources, where it comes from in the Chumash, where the Mishnah got it from, and what's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. You explain all the shittas there. Yeah. Many people are prepared to listen. Some are not, but many people are prepared to listen. Should all have atzloch in their rabbinim.
What?